Welcome to Ready Conference. For security verification, please enter your passcode, followed by... Please hold while your passcode is being verified. Thank you. Your passcode has been accepted. At the tone, you will be the
12th
caller in the conference. To mute or unmute your line during the call, please press star 6 at any time.
We need to go well beyond that, but it's a start. So if we want to believe that, well, now we've got the bureaucracy, we've got the institutions thinking about this, that's absolutely progress here in California. At the moment, the effort has shifted to the California Energy Commission, which just recently held hearings. And I'd like everyone to be aware that if you go to the California Energy Commission's website, or if you send me an email privately, I will send you a link to the feed-in tariff workshop where you can actually participate online survey telling the California Energy Commission, and this, of course, you know, if you're a stakeholder in California, what you would like to see in feed-in tariff. And that is taking place right now. And we also have a group in California. We have a listserv, if you're interested in participating in California, called CalFIT, Cal Feed-In Tariff. If you send me an email, we can add you to the distribution list.
Paul, this is Cameron Coates from the Scripps Institution of Oceanography Group. Thanks for your clarifications on this. And I just had a question about pricing and how prices are set. Do they change over time with respect to, I mean, in a time where we're seeing gas prices change rapidly, I would assume that the regulatory commissions would have to adjust the prices pretty rapidly.
Most of these policies have a review period of 2 to 3 to 5 years. The Swiss just implemented a program. If you go on my website, the top news item is that the Swiss government, the federal government, has just implemented a progressive system of advanced renewable tariffs. And there, they're on a 5-year track. Germany, I think, is on a 4-year track. Ontario was on a 2-year track. So, yes, the prices need to be revisited on a periodic basis, and whether that's 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, that's up to each jurisdiction. Now, let me just clarify that when you sign a contract to get paid your electricity, the price is fixed for that period of time. When the government or regulatory agency... And when a government or regulatory agency changes the price, that's only for the new contract. So, for example, let's give you Germany. So if you signed a contract this year in Germany, you would be paid 8 euro cents, so about 12 U.S. cents per kilowatt hour for wind generation for the next 20 years. But if you wait until next year, new tariffs will be implemented where you'd be paid, let's say, 9 euro cents or almost 14 U.S. cents. Because wind turbine costs have all gone up, and if you want to make a profit with wind energy, you need to get paid more for your electricity, and so the tariffs will go up next year, not down.
This is Diane Gibbons, Bainbridge.
This is Lane Roy on the line. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
This is Lane Roy.
Cutting in to radio or something, but go ahead and we'll try and deal with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just.
I'll say Lanny Roy is on the line.
Okay, I'm gonna let him speak.
Yeah, I say this is Lanny Roy. I'm sorry, I'm running late, but I'm on a roll. But I'm on a call. Lanny Roy, sitting my turn to an A call.
Well, I can't understand that person. If he's asking a question, somebody needs to repeat it.
Yeah, I think it's as you say, a cross line.
Okay.
I'll try again. Would any of the tariffs vary according to the electricity demand at the time, you know, like less at night than the daytime?
No, I don't recommend that because what you need as an investor in renewable energy, if you're an investor in solar energy or wind energy, is some certainty about how much you will be paid so that you can go to the bank. And if that's varies by the time of day, it's almost impossible to predict. And that's one of the problems with the Public Utility Commission's feed-in tariffs in California. They vary by time of the day. And frankly, I can't figure them out. I don't know what they mean.
And Thank you.
Paul, this is Marshall. We're needing to close this portion of the call, but I want to ask you a question. We actually, Brittany actually found you via James Bradbury, the legislative director for James or Jay Inslee in the House, and we understand that Mr. Inslee has introduced a bill on state interest. Are you familiar? I presume you're familiar with that bill, and what do you think of it?
Yes, Congressman Jay Inslee from the Seattle area has introduced H.R. 6401, that's 6401, the Renewable Energy Jobs and Security Act, and that is a proposal for a national system of feed-in tariffs that would be implemented in each state by the State Public Service Commission. And yes, I'm aware of that bill. I support that bill. This is a game-changing development in Washington. We all know that this bill will not pass this year, and if it did, of course, it would be vetoed. But it's a new ball game next year, and I think all of us have hope that there's going to be major changes in Washington next year. And so I encourage everyone. I know that this is a lobby group, and this is a bill that you should support. I encourage you to endorse this. Put your name on an endorsement list. I encourage you to take action by writing letters of encouragement, writing letters to your editor, writing op-ed pieces. I'm happy to assist with the details of this. At the same time, I want to remind everybody that your focus is on Washington, D.C., but that is not the only place. We need Jay Inslee. We need this bill to pass in the U.S. Congress, but we are not waiting for that. There is movements in half a dozen different states where there are already bills introduced. For example, in Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, several bills here in California, and we expect to have bills introduced in Maine and possibly other states.
Okay, Brittany, you want to wrap it up for us?
Yeah, Paul, thank you so much for your time. And I just have to say something. Whoever is not on mute, you should go on mute because there's a lot of traffic coming. So star 6, everybody, press star 6. We're getting a lot of, I don't know, extra traffic. But, Paul, thank you so much for your talk. And, yeah, we'll definitely be in touch with you. And
mute on.
Any of our partners who are interested in communicating with Paul, just send me an email and I can get you in touch with them.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Brittany, and best of luck to you. We're all in this together, and I think we're going to make some real progress next year.
That's so great. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye, Paul. Thank you very much.
Marshall, it's Beverly. Would you let me just interject? I think that's Lenny Roy from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Mr. Roy, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sir, I just wanted to let you know that you've jumped into our national call. The check-in for Louisiana happened about 45 minutes ago, so I thank you for calling in, and you're certainly welcome to stay with us, but if you could mute your phone and check in with Beth on the results of the call earlier, okay?
All right, I appreciate that. I tell you what, I'm going to let you all go on. I'm going to check with Beth.
Okay, and, thank you.
Was Beth on the original call?
Yes, I spoke to Beth earlier. You can speak to her. So we're going to need to move on, but thank you for checking in.
All right, thank you.
Later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Beth, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Monica Law, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great, Monica. Well, everybody, I've asked Monica to talk to us about the Strong, Fair, science-based letter to stop legislation to stop global warming and the continued importance of that. And I just want to say that Monica is with the Union of Concerned Scientists. Monica, among other things, I don't know everything you do, Monica, but you coordinate these sort of grassroots calls on Monday, which Brittany and I are on. And I want you to know that, and I'd like everybody to know that Monica and UCS have been extremely valuable to us in the early going of CCL, and just absolutely invaluable, Monica. and we thank you. And so the floor is yours.
Oh, you're very welcome, Marshall. I mean, in turn, want to thank Marshall and Danielle, and for all the amazing work that you all have done, just starting up, and the reason that we, Kate Abend, is the field coordinator at UCS, the reason that we're so supportive of your efforts and are more than happy to talk to you on these calls is because we've heard about the great work that you've done, and it's really making a difference on Capitol Hill. Clearly, your calls and your the incredible grassroots efforts that you all have put in are starting to make a difference. So I was asked to talk about the Waxman, the Inslee Climate Principles letter. And with the, 15 minutes or so, I thought I'd spend less time talking about the letter itself and a little more about the tactics on how we can get more co-sponsors onto this letter. And so I think I'll just take a little step back and start with kind of how this letter started and why are we pushing this particular letter and not, say, co-sponsorship on some of the other House climate bills that are cropping up in the House right now. And so as you may recall, I guess you all started, probably one of the first activities that you all did at CCL was generating co-sponsors for the Waxman Safe Climate Act. I'm sure you all remember doing that. We were making a lot of calls in D.C. too. And the whole reason is that building co-sponsorship is basically, you're getting endorsers from the House saying that they support that bill. And what you want to do, the whole purpose is to get as big of a number as possible, getting as close to, a two-thirds majority in the House to demonstrate to Nancy Pelosi, who's the Speaker of the House, that there is huge support in the House to pass for legislative action. I mean, she's not going to work to schedule anything on the floor, to bring it to the next step, unless that there's some indication that the bill's going to have a pretty good chance of passing. So a lot of what this early work is with an environmental community and what everybody does on, when in D.C. is we have to demonstrate that there is a lot of support in the House for moving your issue. And so whatever vehicle that is, and we kind of determine what that is. So in the beginning, it was the Safe Climate Act. We didn't have anything else in the House. And so we started using the Safe Climate Act as a vehicle to push as many co-sponsors as we could onto that. We did. We got up to something like 100, 50 or so, plus a couple here and there. But that's a really powerful number. And that really helped push momentum. But now, the Safe Climate Act is a pretty general bill, and it did its job by showing that there is interest in the House in moving global warming legislation. And so now what we have is we've reached a point where we're really tired. As you know, in the Senate, the Lieberman-Warner bill recently was voted on, or there was some major action in the Senate with a Lieberman-Warner vote. It actually got to the floor, and it's a major comprehensive bill, and that's fantastic. But in the House, there's no action. And so this is why we're working on this, and we're working on this letter, because no matter what, this is kind of the best vehicle that we've decided. We've worked very closely with the champs in the House, Representatives Waxman, Markey, and Inslee, to develop a letter, a set of principles on if there is a bill that comes out in the House of Representatives, it needs to adhere to these principles. And so whatever, it's a lot easier than organizing around a bill introduced by a member right now because it may not adhere to all of the principles that that the environmental community and other experts have really thought long and hard about and what a good climate bill needs. So it's a lot easier to organize around a letter that just lists all of it out. And then as there are going to be a lot of climate bills, we think, cropping up in the House, and we don't really want to, waste a lot of time kind of reading through all of those and determining what's good and what's bad about those bills, and it's a lot easier to do this. And also, there's precedent. Back with the Clean Air Act of 1990, this was the strategy that was used to help get that important environmental legislation enacted, and they didn't really have to just demonstrate that there's momentum in the House. They started with a basic principles letter, and garnered a lot of support and co-sponsors onto that, and that demonstrated enough to the Speaker that there was some that the House was ready to vote on important legislation and get that legislation moving. And so this is really important. And the thing is, with like the Safe Climate Act, it is not, it's not going to be a quick and easy thing. It does take some time, and it took months, it's a tool, really. You can take this into a meeting with a staffer, and you can explain to them why it's so important that they co-sponsor, because it has these principles. And so this is why we're organizing around it. And as you may know, at some point, maybe when we have a good critical mass of signers on here, this letter will be delivered with its full complement of signers to Nancy Pelosi. And hopefully with, a note saying, we have X number of members here who support these principles for strong climate legislation. I mean, it could be, other efforts out there with a principles letter with weaker principles. And so which is why this is important, because these are the best principles. These are the strongest principles for strong, fair, science-based legislation.
Okay, Monica.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, it's Marshall. I thought you were through.
Yes, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, can you stay on the line with us for a little while?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. So Janet, are you there? Janet Ryden?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do you want to pick up from there and give us some coaching on this letter? And Monica, would you continue to join the stay in the conversation with Janet as you see needed?
Sure.
Okay, so Janet, why don't you lead off on coaching us about being assigned on this letter?
Okay, great. Thanks, Marshall. Thanks, Monica. And I know Monica has a lot more to say also about tactics and other things. So I'll just say a little bit here to update people kind of where we are with that letter. Most of you know we have 91 signers so far. 82 of them are from the HR 1590 list that we've been working from. And then, of course, it's the three authors of the letter, and then there are six others that weren't in our group that have joined in. Waxman's office has sent out a reminder to all the recipients of the first letter this last week. So this next week is a good time to hit the phones again. Just to say that, as Monica pointed out, it takes a long time to produce results, and we kind of need to stay up online with this. And it's hard to do that in the face of a lot of messages left. It takes commitment and sometimes just doing it because we said we would do it. And we want to always notice if we're getting discouraged or we're finding ourselves just going through the motions and just doing the call so we can let someone know we did the call and really come up with some new ways of reaching the people to find out, and do we want a yes or a no so we can move these numbers forward. And the other thing to remember is we're lobbying. We're developing ourselves as lobbyists. We're accomplishing getting our name out there. There, people are going to know Citizens Climate Lobby. We're going to be able to turn over relationships with people to other Citizens Climate Lobby folks that spring up in other areas of the country. Right now, we're kind of calling all over because we're a small group. So that's what I want to say, is that it's just, and I know that another group of names have been distributed. So we'll want to, look at that and get those divided up among ourselves and just keep on going. That what we want to do is we want to, you just have to remember that we're really, by doing that call, even though it looks like we're just calling and trying to get through to somebody and ask a question and see where they're at, we're directing the course of legislative action. That's what we're doing. And it takes patience and perseverance and a willingness to be a pest. So that's what I have to say. Anything else from you, Monica?
I think that's exactly right, and I can't thank you all enough for being so persistent and really sticking with this. It does require a lot of patience, and it takes time to move these numbers. I just wanted to stress again that, you know, you've done a lot of calls, and you may want to take some time to think creatively about how else you can move these numbers. A lot of what we do at UCS is we'll do some member research, really think about how do these numbers, what makes them tick, who do they listen to, what really gets them to, what are the issues that they really care about. So, you know, start with the website. Think some of the things that we look at are who are their kind of grass, what are some grass tops, what are some, say, donors that really make an influence on these members or groups, or look at their faith. Are they particularly religious? Are they, say, Senator Spector in Pennsylvania? He's Jewish, and we bring a lot of rabbis and other influential members from the Jewish community to come and talk to him or write him a letter. And sometimes, you know, that can make a difference. Thinking about if maybe their issue is gas prices, there are ways to maybe message your what you're trying to say about global warming in a way that resonates with them, with the issue that they care about. Thinking more about in-district lobby meetings. Every time there are legislative recesses, and there's going to be a very long one coming up in August. There's August recess, and all the members are supposed to come back to their districts to talk to their constituents. And that's a time when we ask our organizers to go and start making appointments with those offices so that they can put this letter in their hand and tell them why it's so important. And, of course, keep generating those op-eds, those letters to the editors, and trying to get in the media, you know, put that representative's name in the media somehow so that they know that people are paying attention and that they're hearing about this and that they need to do something really forces them to respond. So those are some other tactics that you can think about, and just you can be creative. Like Greenpeace is, they're kind of, they like to be really creative and go crazy and, you know, do some kind of public kind of event. But, you know, think of kind of what do you want to do as CCL? What are some tactics that you all have that are particularly strong, that you're strong in, and you should use that to your advantage?
Okay. Any questions, Monica or Janet, on the strong fair letter? Okay, Monica, thank you very, very much for being on the call with us. We appreciate it. And again, thank you for letting Brittany and I be on those Monday calls with you, and we'll talk to you Monday.
All right, that sounds great.
And you're, yes, Janet?
This is Janet. Holly was trying to ask a question of Monica.
Okay, Holly, go ahead.
Hi, this is Holly in San Diego. I just want to know what you think generally, because I'm not sure that we all know, you know, the details of what makes the Congress people tick or whatever. That would require a lot more research. But generally, what's the best way to talk to them? Is it by phone or email or writing letters? I mean, is there a way generally that most of them more likely to respond to?
You know, every office is different, but certainly when they get a lot of handwritten letters, those are very special. When they get calls into the office, those are special, more so than emails. Developing a relationship with the staffer in the office, which is why you start with, it does help to maybe have a constituent or someone who has some kind of connection or reason for talking to the member. Developing a relationship with the particular staffer in their office, whether it be the district or the D.C. office, and just start asking questions, you know. Here's this climate principles letter. And if they say, I don't want to sign this, tell them why. Is there, what are you particularly concerned about? You know, how can I help you get information to help you realize how important this is? And that's often, you know, just starting a conversation, whether by email or by letter or, you know, an in-district meeting, like I had mentioned. Every member has some set of issues on why they are wary of getting onto the letter. Find out what it is and try to address the concern. you know, if it's something that you think, if they're saying, I'm not hearing enough from my district about this, I don't want to do it. Well, then you get out there and make sure that they're hearing a lot from the district. Sometimes they're like, I want to know a little bit more about this particular piece of this letter. Can someone give me some more information on that? Then that's something where you can talk to me, and in D.C., we'll get them that information right away and make sure that all their questions are answered. So it's just starting a conversation somehow. And in doing some online research, you can tell a lot by what they say publicly about global warming, you can just tell by looking on the website sometimes a little bit on how they're leaning and what they're really concerned about.
Okay, Monica, thank you very, very much.
We have one more question here in San Diego.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, this is Grant Gallen from the Scripps Institution of Oceanography Group. Monica, I'm wondering what you suggest for us to do to get over this hump of calling people that aren't our direct representative and then sort of just quickly brushing us off as not one of their direct constituents.
Right, and I was talking to Janet about this yesterday, and, you know, we do the same thing at the Union of Concerned Scientists. And you're calling not as a constituent, you're calling as CCL. And so you have to kind of go and talk about CCL and why CCL, what you all are doing as a group, and why you are a constituent in that sense. You know, you are concerned kind of lobbyists of California, and you are really good at getting grassroots out and getting the message out, and that's going to impact their district in some way, or, you know, mention that you're growing, that you have constituents there, or you can just talk about, you know, you are a big group doing some work in the district, and you need to get more information and you're going to, you know, you have plans to talk about it in the district or something like that. The connection somehow really play up the fact that it's CCL. Just like we do at UCS, when I call the offices, I don't say, I am a constituent, because I'm not. I just say, I'm the Union of Concerned Scientists. I'd like to talk, you know, on behalf of a science-based organization about why you need to sign on to this letter. And you're talking on behalf of CCL of why you are a concerned citizen of California. And, you know, and as your group gets bigger and they start to hear your name on the Hill, it will be easier. But again, you know, while this is happening, you all do need to think about different ways to influence the congressman, since you don't have constituents right now. And so that does mean, you know, reaching out to actual constituents in the district, people who are influential, who can actually, you can be the coordinator, just like UCS. We don't, you know, we're not constituents of the state, but we work with people on the ground and coordinate, help them organize the people on the ground to make a difference. And that could be something, just for example, business leaders in the district, helping them, we write the letter, but then we get it out to the district and ask influential business people to sign onto the letter. If, say, that's something that would influence that particular congressman, or maybe it's, you know, the faith community getting someone, if that really resonates with that member, we'll write the letter, we'll send it to somebody we know on the ground, ask them to generate a bunch of people to sign it, or make a call to the office on our behalf, and we'll give them the things to say. You know, there are ways that you can, and as you build your reputation, you know, and it's a lot easier when you make those calls. I hope that
okay.
helps.
Okay, Monica, we're going to have to move on.
Okay.
Monica, thank you very much, and again, you're willing to, you're welcome to stay for as much of the call as you like.
Great. And you all are welcome to call or email me. You have my info, Marshall does.
Okay.
Very much.
Okay. Monica, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the primary action for July and August. And so in the normal course of events, all groups of all kinds, whether it's CCL or Rotary or Optimist or whatever, lose members. And the strong ones stay on, the strong and committed ones stay on, and others leave for whatever reason. And that's why we need to continue to give attention to adding partners really year-round. And also, we want to educate. Not only do we want to add new partners, but we want to educate our friends and family about the urgency of global warming and to give our friends and family an opportunity to take an action, that is to say, to write a letter to their member of Congress or the press about global warming. And that's why one of the five partner agreements is to hold education and action meetings quarterly. Now, I think everybody brought their calendars to the conference call. And when the conference call is complete, when we hang up, please agree among yourselves on a date and time for an education and action meeting that will occur before the end of August. Please decide on a location, or maybe it's somebody's house who's right there in the group, or assign somebody in the group to find a location. And when the conference call ends, please, everybody, just take a few minutes to make a list of 10 people that you will invite to the Education and Action meeting and give a copy of your list to your group leader. Of course, keep one for yourself. Now, the meeting itself could look like this, just a welcome to everybody, and the program could be something like having a climate project presenter, one of the what I call the GOR presenters, give a presentation. They are available in Washington State and down here in Southern California and in Colorado, and there are many or most parts of the country. Also at the meeting, you would share your concern with your friends and family about the climate, about global warming, and describe Citizens Climate Lobby. Tell them what it has meant to you and tell them what the possibilities are. The action that they could take could be that you would collect newspaper articles for the few days before the ENA meeting, read them at the meeting, pass them out, and ask the participants to write letters to their member of Congress or the media right there. And, of course, invite them to be partners with you and come to the next conference call. And, of course, you would follow up. And we can we will provide you on the website. I'm sure it's not there right now, but we will have in the next few days, the enrollment form and the brochure that can be downloaded from the website so that you can have those. So is there any question about an ENA meeting? I'd like for Janet to coach us in inviting people to the Education and Action meeting, but is there anybody who's got a question about it, want to say anything about it?
I have one comment, Marshall, or question. You said before the end of August, and I just am wondering if August is the best month or if September is better. That's, you know, would be my curiosity because a lot of people are gone in August.
Well, I really think September would be a good month, but it's just there's an urgency about this thing.
Yes.
And I just don't want to postpone.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Okay.
Anybody else? Janet, you want to give us a little coaching on inviting somebody to inviting our friends and family to the Education and Action meeting?
Yeah, before I do that, I just want to say a couple things. Actually, you can, in the invitation, you can use just what was just discussed creating the urgency. So you can set, if someone has a concern about that date or says whatever, then that's an opportunity to bring more urgency to the issue. So, and the other thing I want to say is in terms of just to look at setting goals. So besides the date and besides making a list of people who you will invite, you want to look at setting goals with your group there. How many people do you want to have attend overall? So have it out there in the future. Have a commitment that you're going to have, you know, 50 people be there, and just so that you can all participate in that inside of that commitment. And then you need to realize, just like everything else we've all had experience with, you need to confirm about 3 times or 4 times that many. So you need to go way beyond not just confirming 50 people if you want to have 50 people show up in the room. I would recommend that each person inviting, you actually set a goal personally for yourself of how many people you'll have be there, and have that be known among, and have the group leader know that so they can support that effort. Set weekly goals. How many people are you going to invite? How many people are you going to confirm? How many people will actually say yes to you? So you want to have specific weekly goals in order to accomplish, you know, and then you guys need to have a way in which to stay in communication. If you're not meeting outside of these calls, then maybe creating an email group or having a short meeting in your local area there to discuss the event. And really, I request that you do report your results, whatever they are, every week to your group leader so they can report that on their group leader conference calls, because that's one of the things that we, you know, talk about is what's happening. So, you know, and I think we all have had experience with inviting people to things. We let them know what it is. We're excited about this. Maybe they know we're involved. Maybe they don't. We let them know you relate to them, just like that. This is just as important to them as it is to you, and they maybe just don't know that yet. And that because they live on the planet, and you need to. It's kind of like you need to unveil for them a way in which they can impact this and kind of move from any resignation they have or any unconsciousness or any maybe not knowing it's somebody else's problem, there's enough people working on it. So all of that, you know, you're going to kind of come up against, and, you know, and you can have fun. So I would just like to ask someone on the call to invite me to your event, and we can kind of look at that. So is there someone that would like to invite me to come to your event and just kind of create it right now so we can make it real and get going? Do I have to pick on somebody?
I'll go. This is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy. Great.
Hi. Janet, this is Peggy. How are you?
I'm good, Peggy. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, I wanted to share something with you that's really pretty exciting that's starting up. You know, I know that you're probably as concerned as I am about global warming, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have started working with a group called Citizens Climate Lobby, and we're having a meeting, and we're going to invite people to. It's an educational meeting, just to learn a little bit more about the global warming, and also what individual people can actually do to make a difference. I'm really excited about the group, and the time and the date is such and such. Can I count on you to be there?
Well, it sounds interesting. But what is the work that you guys do? What is you say?
Well, we're a citizens climate lobby group, and we are growing now. We just started this year, and what we're doing is a wonderful group because each month we have a call that educates us about what's going on with legislation around the climate and. We're beginning to influence what's going on and encourage our representatives in Washington to actually create legislation that's, you know, going to help us beat this thing. And so we're very excited about it, but we need a lot of people to be aware of it and realize that they can influence what's going on.
Oh,
Now, I've never really done anything too political. I don't. Maybe is this really for me? If I mean, you mentioned.
Well, you know, we all have a responsibility to do something, and it's amazing what a phone call or a letter or you know, a letter to the editor can do in terms of influencing other people and our legislators.
Oh,
I mean, they're actually wanting to hear from people that aren't paid by big corporations but are just concerned about what's going on in the environment. And a lot of them are concerned, too, but they need our support.
Okay, so I don't really need to know how to do that. I don't need to
No, we'll help you and coach you and everything else. And, you know, just to come to learn more about it, you know, is a first step.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'd like to check it out. Thank you. Okay.
Great. I'll see you there.
Yeah, you'll see me there. All right, great. Thanks, Peggy. So anybody have any questions or comments about that? That was great.
I would just say it's helpful to get straight to the issue that we're about making phone calls and contacting our legislators and getting to that clearer earlier might help people and see that it's easy. Helps to get to the issue a little bit faster and, you know, gets avoids people being able to flake out.
Great.
I also,
this is Holly.
I also had an idea too that maybe, and I mean we haven't tried this yet, but if we could invite the congressmen of our area or the candidates in our case, because we're having an election coming up in our district, to this meeting and say, you know, or somebody from their staff to show if they're going to show some support for this issue. It would be great if we could put some pressure on them in that way. Say, you know, we're having a meeting. There's a lot of concerned citizens, and we want to know where you stand on this issue, you know.
Great. But
we'll see if it works.
Great. That's it for me, Marshall, unless anybody else has anything to say.
Okay, Jenna, thank you very much. Jenna, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, so not only do we want to strengthen our existing groups with our education and action meetings, but we want to grow our groups to increase the number of our groups. And I ask Beverly, our very capable organizer of new groups, to give us an update. Beverly, are you there?
I'm here, Marshall. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear. Sounds like you have something going in Louisiana.
I guess we do. Hi, everyone. I'm happy to provide a very positive group start update today. And everyone should know that this month Marshall is scheduled to start two new groups. One in Maryland in the next few days, and next week in California. And having traveled with him on the road for group starts, I really just want to applaud him. I find him tireless and dedicated. I don't know if everybody just wants to give a hoot and a holler to Marshall. Any kind of applause.
Thank you very much.
This week alone, two new group starts have been scheduled for August. And these are really powerful group starts for us, each for unique reasons. One is scheduled for Portland, Oregon on August 9th. And we have an incredible inviting team in Oregon involved in diverse aspects of this climate issue, and they are taking a powerful stand by exploring the possibility of having a CCL group start in all the congressional districts of Oregon over a two-day period to create a statewide presence. And this includes hubs in Portland, Corvallis, Bend, and Eugene. And we think this will inspire inviting teams in other states, and we're looking forward to seeing the outcome of this courageous effort, which we expect to confirm this week. I think the idea is that organizing 80% of the congressional district throws this into a kind of important level regarding constituency for the U.S. Senate. So bringing Portland on board is exciting, too, because of Portland's role, as we all know, as the first U.S. city to enact a comprehensive plan to reduce CO2 emissions, and, of course, the city of first on green initiatives. Some of you may know Janelle Hansen, our inviting team host for Oregon. She's been very supportive in taking these initiatives. A second group start meeting in August, so exciting. It's been set for a place nearest and dearest to all of our hearts, on the climate issue, and that's New Orleans, Louisiana. I think you heard Mr. Roy came into our call today. He's one of our inviting team. And like Oregon, the people in Louisiana do like to mobilize on a statewide level. And they've arranged for primary group start meeting to take place on August 23rd in New Orleans, with contingents coming in from other areas of the state, such as Lake Charles. One of the things I learned from them, and it seems hard to imagine, that as the folks in Lake Charles were building homes for Katrina climate refugees from New Orleans, Hurricane Rita struck in Lake Charles. It's so hard to imagine people getting hit twice by hurricanes of that magnitude, but it happened. Anyhow, this inviting team is impressive. They add to the diversity of our growing Citizens Climate Lobby Network. They told me it means a lot that we want to include them down there on climate. And of course, it strengthens us to partner with people, you know, of such diverse perspectives and experience. So it seems that the future holds that we can all kind of help each other state to state in many ways. Marshall will be seeing One Sky in D.C. this week to say hello. As I mentioned in my last update, we are visiting with like-minded friends around the country to set the strongest possible environment for appreciation of and participation with the Citizens Climate Lobby. We are participating in inviting team meetings at the latter part of this month in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Brunswick, Maine. And from there, plans include continued work in Colorado and Maryland and becoming active in Texas, North Carolina, Vermont, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Tennessee, Arkansas, Virginia, and possibly even Mississippi. So last but not least, the Governor's Climate Action Team, IWG, here in Washington has invited a meeting regarding CCL on Monday with me. And this is to follow up on how the Bainbridge and Port Townsend groups are doing. So I'm really excited about this, and I invite Washington partners to contact me if you have any ideas about how we might leverage CAT to form CCL groups in districts throughout the state. So that's all I have for now, Marshall. Thank you all for being pioneers and partners and getting this ladder in place for all of us to follow.
Okay, Beverly, thank you very, very much. Well, I'm about to close the call. I want to talk to you in these last few minutes about courage, what we're asking you to do, the leadership of CCL is asking you to do, is to do these education and action meetings, inviting people, takes courage. I'm asking you to be intrusive with people, to bother people, to wake them up about the climate problem that we have. I once told a teacher of mine that I didn't want to be intrusive in people's lives, and he just very quickly responded, if you don't want to be intrusive in people's lives, then just stay in bed in the morning. I believe that all of you on this call love everybody enough that you love all of life enough that you're willing to do that, to be intrusive, to bother people, to create legislation. You may not want to from time to time. You may want to put it off. It may not be comfortable. But you love life enough that you will do it, and you will do it over and over again. I'm going to close with a quote from Stephen Gaskin, The Mind at Play. I pull it out of Sam Daly Harris's book, Reclaiming Our Democracy. And here it is. Courage. Courage comes from heart. Cœur in French. Corazón in Spanish. And courage means you see the importance of this thing in front of you. So strong. And so seriously, and you have so much heart, and you care about it so much that you're single-mindedly intent on doing it, and you don't even consider whether you are afraid or not. If your knees are knocking together like castanets, it doesn't matter, because what has to be done, has to be done, and you don't consider that other stuff. you love somebody enough, or you love everybody enough, that it is worth your while to do it. I'm going to read it again. Courage comes from heart, cœur in French, corazón in Spanish. And courage means you see the importance of this thing in front of you so strong and so seriously, and you have so much heart and you care about it so much that you're single-mindedly intent on doing it. And you don't even consider whether you are afraid or not. If your knees are knocking together like castanets, it doesn't matter, because what has to be done, and you don't consider that other stuff. You love somebody enough, or you love everybody enough, that it is worth your while to do it. Well, let's all take off our mute buttons and say goodbye to each other, and thank you all for being on the call today. And the Denver, the Boulder group, I'll talk to you on the basics test after the call on this line.
Hey, Marshall?
Yes.
This is Bill in Southern California.
Yeah, Bill.
San Diego. Can I make one quick announcement before we go?
You may.
I know almost all of you get my tidbits that I send out periodically about global warming news, what's out there in the world press. If you don't get them and you would like them, please email me at wseager1@san.rr.com.
Okay, the email address again, Bill?
WSEAGER, the number one, at san.rr.com.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much. And Bill, I appreciate those tidbits very much. I think they're right on the money, and you've got it boiled down to the essence of the idea, and I appreciate it so much. Okay, let's all say goodbye to each other.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.